So brothers and sisters, I hope that you all had a very blessed Independence Day yesterday. Glad to see that you are all safe. In one of the first songs of the Disney classic The Lion King, Simba envisions what it will be like when he's in charge. No one's saying do this. No one's saying be there. No one's saying stop that. No one's saying see here. Free to run around all day, free to do it all my way. Basically, to be king is to be answerable to no one and to do whatever you want. This seems to conform pretty well to our culture's view of power and authority. But this isn't the Christian way. Our King tells us today to learn from Him, who is meek and humble of heart. Just a clarification on meekness. Meekness is not weakness. A few weeks ago, I was reading an article on the role of personality traits in evolution in Europe, and the author cited Friedrich Nietzsche, the atheist philosopher, to say that Christianity is a religion that prizes and values weakness. Clearly, the author was not Christian. Look at our great saints throughout history. Was St. Francis of Assisi weak when he went to Egypt during the Crusades to try to convert Sultan Malik al-Kamil? No, he had a holy boldness. So bold, in fact, that the Sultan, instead of putting him to death, as was his practice, was so impressed that he sent him home with a gift. Was St. Catherine of Siena weak when she told Pope Gregory XI to get his derriere out of Avignon, France, and back to Rome where the popes belong? No, she had a holy boldness. And much closer to our own day, right here in our own backyard, 90 years ago or so, were the Knights of Columbus weak when they went at night to patrol the grounds of the seminary to keep the KKK from burning it down? No, they had a holy boldness. Christianity doesn't prize weakness. Some people might be called to a physical weakness, but that's so that their spiritual strength can be made manifest. It's not that Christianity prizes weakness, but that it prizes meekness. Meekness is a humble docility, and with it comes true power and real authority. St. Paul tells the Philippians that being found in human form, Christ humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. And because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to God's plan. And that's what meekness is. It's a humble obedience to the plan of God. We see this as well in the centurion who comes to Christ asking that he heal his servant. The centurion tells Christ, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." Humility. And then he says, "For I too am a man subject to authority, with people subject to me." He has an understanding of this docile obedience. And what does Christ say in response to him? He says, "Never have I seen such faith in all of Israel." It's the meekness of the centurion that allows God's power to enter in and to be made manifest. And his servant is healed. The promise of the prophet Zechariah is that true power comes from meekness. As we heard in our first reading today, he said, "See, your king shall come to you. A just Savior is he, meek and riding on an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations." True power doesn't come from force. Deep and lasting peace doesn't come from force. But it comes from a humble obedience to God's will. It's allowing ourselves to be instruments so that God, the all-powerful, can work through us. This is why St. Paul told the Romans, as we just heard, that we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This sense of restraint, this sense of self-governance that opens us up to the Spirit is something that our culture, that our world greatly needs to recover. I would even go so far as to say that the fate of our nation depends upon it. As John Adams wrote to a Massachusetts militia in 1798, he said that should the people of America once become capable of that deep simulation towards one another which assumes the language of justice and moderation, while it's practicing instead iniquity and extravagance, while it displays in the most captivating manner the charming pictures of candor, frankness, and sincerity, while it's rioting in rapine and insolence, this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world, because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, and licentiousness would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Worldly power is fleeting. And the false sense of freedom, the sense that we can do whatever we want, is clearly showing itself to be the road to chaos. For peace to reign in our land, for peace to reign in our hearts, to seek for virtue, to strive for sanctity, this is the heart of the Christian message, living out the Christian faith. And so it's not an element of weakness. We will only, though, be filled with holy boldness. We will only soar to the heights of what we are capable of. We will only become who it is that God has made us to be if we place ourselves in humble obedience to God's plan in our own lives and greater as well within the community. In short, if we learn from our King, who is meek and humble of heart.